getting used to it.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see all these things. It is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, that's okay.
No, it's not really.
All right, so if everybody would pull
So
in.
Could I please ask everybody to stay with us and not drift off as we go. When we finish the tour, you can then drift off where you want, but please stay close because we waste time. Thank you.
All right, it's so awe-inspiring, isn't it? So, we are looking at a portrait of George Washington, who was the first president of the United States. And at the time that this was painted by Charles Wilson Peale, he was the commander-in-chief of the American Continental Army, which was fighting the British. So what we see is a man standing in a very confident pose with his hand on his hip and the left hand on a cannon, symbolizing, you know, war, obviously. And we have the ascendant American flag over his head. And this is the flag that used to exist, which has the 13 stars representing each of the 13 American colonies. And he, his horse looks at him adoringly. And at his feet is the flag of the defeated army. Now, you would expect that flag to be Which flag?
British.
The British flag. However, this is not the British flag. It's actually the flag of the German Hessian, what was called the Hessian troops, the German mercenary troops that fought for the British against the Americans. And they were at this battle. In the background, I saw some of you looking at George Washington crossing the Delaware, the big piece that we'll stop by. This river here is the Delaware River, and this battle was the Battle of Trenton, New Jersey. It was the turning point of the American Revolution and a big part of the victory of George Washington, ultimately. Now, this painting, Charles Wilson Peale, unlike a lot of other artists in this gallery, was a patriot, meaning he did favor separation from the British in the 1770s, and he actually fought in the Revolution with George Washington. And he had several live sittings with George Washington over his lifetime, so this is considered a remarkable likeness. But he is also doing something very important in terms of myth-making in this painting. First of all, a more traditional portrait of a general, and this is an English general, Elliot, would be here on my left. If you were walking down the streets of New York and needed to ask directions, which man would you rather approach? Would it be George? So this is a conscious effort on the part of the artist to create a man who is both commanding and approachable. So he's a man of the people, but he's not exactly one of us. He's still somebody to be revered and respected, but he's also friendly and democratic. Right?
Yeah.
So he has almost a half smile on his face, and he looks us in the eye. Now, I want to show you a portrait that portrait was commissioned by the Philadelphia State House, where the Capitol was then located. And they had commissioned a portrait of King George III, who was the reigning sovereign in England during the American Revolution. And I'll pass this around. This was the painting that was destined for the Philadelphia elected body. And what do you notice, those of you who have seen it, is similar about this painting to the two paintings? the hand on the hip, the other hand resting on something. But is King George looking at us?
No.
No. No, King George is too exalted for that. Just as he's not looking at us, right? But George is looking at us. He's engaging us directly because he's a man of the people.
Yeah.
All right? Now, the other thing that's very important in this painting is that it's a minor detail, but George is wearing a thin rapier sword, which is also known as a sword of state, which is actually in a museum down in Virginia, the real sword. And it is not a battle sword. It's just the kind of sword as a gentleman that you would wear. It signified your gentleman status. But it also has another significance. Shortly after the American Revolution was won in 1781, George Washington goes to the Congress and resigns his commission as commander-in-chief. And this is an incredibly symbolic moment in the history of our country, and it was painted over and over again and reproduced. Because when in history has the victor ever resigned his post to an elected body? Right? So we wanted to commemorate that moment of democracy, of the rule of law, of the elected body being the supreme body. And in resigning his commission, he is saying, I work for you, I work for the people, right? And so the sword of state is a symbol of that. And it's thought that this actual version of the painting, this was so popular, this painting, there were at least 17 known copies painted. They're in Versailles in France. They're in the Prado in
British
Spain,
Museum.
And maybe the British Museum. I mean, they're maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. That's a sore subject. Those, you know, pesky colonials that were so annoying. But in any case, this painting had very far-reaching. Was originally painted by Peale, but it's not the first one he painted. Yeah. And all the other versions have George is wearing his battle sword. So the fact that this may have been commissioned by his wife, Martha Washington, the fact that she chose to have his sword of state depicted is thought to be symbolic. Yes.
Is that the only change?
The other change is that every time he did one, he would update the uniform to the most current version of the uniform. And so this is the last one with the blue banner as a sign of him being a general. And all the others have this, they begin to have the stars. And so, and to this day, you know, three-star general, four-star general is the norm. So. Sorry, go ahead.
Would this be what he actually wore, or is it a represent like?
No, this is what he actually wore, and also what he actually looked like. He was very tall, well over 6 feet, and he, as the curator describes, had a pear-like body, long spindly legs, and a small head. So that's not me saying that.
His head does look little.
Yeah. Yes. Now, getting back to that portrait, the reason I handed around the portrait of King George III is that would have been a lot more typical of a portrait painting of this era.
Yep.
And etchings of these paintings would come to America. So American artists were very familiar with the paintings that were going on in England. And certainly it's believed that Peale knew about this painting of George III, had seen an etching, and was very consciously copying for the American consumption, the style, but also defining it, right?
Yeah.
So this is part of, you know, the beginning of a myth making. These are our heroes here in America, all right?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Right.